Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 83, Episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Thursday, May 23rd, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jaxiepad. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Dun, 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 dun. Yes, it's your boy, the Keith Lisi, smoker of strains, Rhaenyra's Miles Grayian. Your spoilers have been warned. Mad like the stormborn, burn King's Landing to waste. Like a clout rapper, got tats on his face. I got a Post Mathrones hot takes. And that comes from Andrew, at Bub, Andrew Bub. You know, that was a good, see, that felt like a poetic AK. Yeah. It wasn't just a string of AKs.
That felt stream of consciousness.
It felt like some shit I would have said, what was the movie, The Last Dragon? Bruce
right.
Leroy?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Shownuff would have said.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt. Give me something to make me feel like Shownuff, and I will say that this time.
Also, I have to give a shout out to Year of the Ant at MFC Erickson on Twitter for photoshopping me as a SoundCloud rapper. Just all my favorite things tattooed on my body, giving me my new Twitter
avatar. Looking like an old millennial NASCAR.
That's right.
With all your sponsors.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the artist and host of the Peace of Mind podcast, Mr. B. Beeman.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Welcome.
Thanks
welcome
for
having me.
Yeah,
you guys are much more higher energy than me right now. I'll have to bring it.
Bring it up.
Bring it up. It's all about, you know, it's all about levels. Everyone's got to come in where they come in.
We'll come down to where you are.
Please. No.
I'll do my high voice. All right, man. Don't talk like this and I'll fade it.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're talking about the fact that New Coke is finally returning because of Stranger Things, and I'm excited about it. I
don't know.
Taste.
I know you. I only know about New Coke because of you.
Right.
And I didn't know that people were pissed about it.
You didn't?
Well, no, because I think when it came out, I was like maybe one or two or some shit, so
right.
I wasn't really up on the, you know, the beef between consumers and brands.
Wait, so how do you know? What do you know about it from me?
That you mentioned like how there was new Coke.
Right.
I think when we talked about new Diet Coke flavors like a year ago or something, you talked about it as like they don't fuck with the recipe. And that's why they always talk about the original formula and why that's because that's fallout. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about it. I've never tasted it, but I'm looking forward to having an opportunity to taste one of the great failed marketing campaigns of all time.
It can't be worse than Crystal Pepsi.
Well, that's what they say. This was the 80s version of Crystal Pepsi. Yeah, like before there was a Crystal Pepsi failure.
It would be like if Pepsi was like, we are releasing Crystal Pepsi and old Pepsi's gone.
Right,
it's like
we've replaced it with this.
That's a big swing, guys. We are going to talk about our first cartoon/video game crushes. We are going to talk about the president had an interesting morning yesterday. We're going to talk about that. What happened? Basically, took a shit in the Rose Garden.
Yeah. Big old shit in front of everybody.
Moby continues to just have weird things coming out of his. I think people are just slowly, like nobody actually read Moby's memoir. They're just like sort of slowly reading it, bits and pieces at a time. And new information has come to light. We're going to talk about that and his response. We might talk about Boeing. We might talk about Christopher Nolan's new movie, Will Smith's new movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which
new movie.
Hit Cannes. Yesterday or 2 days ago, Chris Broussard going way out on a limb, saying him and Kevin Durant are basically best friends. And we might even talk about Whitney Houston going back on tour. Yes, you heard us right. But first, B, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, I didn't know it's supposed to be revealing. I guess maybe it will
Well,
be.
We're going to judge you.
Inevitably,
you can judge me. I don't know if it'll reveal anything. But, robot vacuums recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tired of doing it by hand.
Okay. All right.
You got pets?
A child. Does that count?
Yeah.
Even worse.
Yeah, I know. It's just like you walk out. There's like a Simpson episode where like Marge cleans the kitchen and then the swinging door opens and then it closes and it's a mess.
Right.
Yeah.
How old is your child?
5. She's not too bad, but it's just like crumbs like everywhere.
Right.
Lots of crumbs. Yeah.
It's like having that drunk homie over.
Yeah.
Who's like sloppy as shit. And you're always like, God damn.
She doesn't pee on the couch, though.
Right. Okay. That's good. That's pretty or in the planters. Like, I thought it was a bathroom. I'm sorry.
Kids are.
I'm just. Do you have somebody? When I said that, I thought very specifically of somebody that I used to hang out with. But every time I came over, this is like in college, would be so fucked up. Mm-hmm. Like, I would find hamburgers like underneath couch cushions.
Yeah.
Because this dude would be like eating. Then pass out midway through, and then ends up in between cushions.
Yeah. I had a friend who passed out and woke up with the sandwich, like, still in his hand. just finished it.
Oh, that's a gift
like,
to himself.
Upon waking up.
Yeah.
That same friend once woke up, like, came to while shitting standing up. I think he is that guy. This is like
some kind of superpower?
That
and that friend is me.
Yeah. Are you that
why
boy,
I
Jack?
I don't drink anymore.
Came to while taking a shit. Whoa!
Whoa!
I'm doing it again.
Yeah. But robot vacuums are...
It's like way back. I'm sorry.
Smooth.
They are at the forefront of our robot technology.
I do have a concern, right? I'm concerned about who makes tech, whether it's apps or whatever. Sometimes you'll be like downloading an app, and then if you like look into who makes it, it's like made in St. Petersburg, Russian Federation. And it's what is that about? What are they collecting? And like Roombas or whatever. It's like, I don't know.
Made by the Navy.
Interior.
Don't worry about it. It's made by the Navy, and they're just, want to see how you defend yourself when the Roomba comes at you.
Roomba by Raytheon.
Yeah. I was actually being stalked around my house by a remote control car, and it was terrifying. My wife was like playing with my son's remote control car, and they were having a big laugh, and I kept being tripped by it.
Humans are the evil ones.
But I'm just saying, one of these days, guys.
Wait, why was it stressing you out? Because you didn't know the technology of a remote control car. You're like, what is this? Apparition?
No, I just couldn't get away from it. She was just intentionally tripping me.
I just thought you were like, what the fuck?
What is happening?
Hey, honey, this car! Come in here! It's following me.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I don't trust those robot vacuums.
Yeah.
As far as I can throw them.
Or man, the one I have.
About like 10 feet.
I think my shit, I have cats and shit, so I have, you know, I got to be on top of all the feline hairball tumbleweeds that blow across like a shitty Western. And like some of the things, they're not the reserve tank for the debris.
Yeah.
For the detritus. It's not like, it's not lit enough. It's not big enough, not
big
capable,
enough.
Not appropriately sized for the amount of shit in there. So like
you
half the
lit
time
for so many things.
Yeah, it's just everything has to be lit. You know, everything's lit. The size of the Roomba's garbage reservoir not lit enough.
That's definitely true. It's like the size of a printer cartridge.
Right.
It's like why the fuck? Why not just make it bigger?
Right.
Like it's add like, some space here.
There's like Cheez-It crumbs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Another issue with the robot vacuums is they're perfectly sized to go under furniture and get stuck under there.
Yeah
so.
And then start doing the beep. The one I have I think is janky because like my dad doesn't pay full, like get the real version of things. He likes to buy like the off-brand Roomba, and then his ass came up on some money and then buys a real Roomba. He's like, oh, I got this robot vacuum for you if you want. I'm like, oh cool. This shit like always would just get stuck in a corner and just be like this beep 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 like help me type shit. More of a nuisance.
So is it vote of confidence on this? I'm about to not buy one. You guys are cool.
Yeah, it's worth. I mean,
it works.
When you get a new piece of technology, like, do you read the instructions and like program it properly? And
if it's not like 2 hours long, I will.
Yeah, then it's worth doing.
And I think if you buy like the right one, I think if you cut corners of them, that's where you start seeing the flaws in it. Because I know plenty of people have like legit like versions of the Roomba or whatever the fuck the most the nicest one is. And that one seems to work fairly often.
Yeah. The company that makes it, iRobot.
Which, is that who really makes it?
Yeah, that's kind of a
ballsy.
Rami
Malek's
company.
Yeah, right.
it's like an Isaac Asimov story.
I know.
Short story about the robots like...
well, that came after the laws of robotics, right? That
he
wrote that?
Yeah. Anyways.
Holy shit. You guys are talking about something I have no idea. Don't know anything about.
Oh, dude, Isaac Asimov, man.
You don't need to. I'm just saying, trust your Roomba, but always cut the cards. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
What is something you think is overrated?
Let's think about this. KD.
Kevin Durant?
Slightly.
Okay.
Wow. I'm a Warriors fan.
Yeah.
I've been since like Monte Ellis, Jay Rich.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not just.
Chris Gatling?
Yeah.
Didn't Chris Gatling play for the Warriors?
No.
No?
Think so.
I'm just
thinking
of his head scar.
Baron Davis.
Baron Davis.
Boom the Boom Dizzle. No, Baron Davis.
Troy Murphy, Donald Foyle.
Yeah.
There we go.
I mean, I'm not like old. I started rooting for him in 2000. But anyway, my choice was KD.
Yeah.
Not that he isn't like the top two basketball player in the world or, you know, one of the best of all time, but... He just holds the ball so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it just takes so much time.
It's been really fun to watch the Warriors once he got hurt. Like, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt, but it's suddenly like putting them in a time machine back to the 72 win season.
Yeah.
Like they're that team again. And
it's impressive just because, I mean, there's no adjustment time to get back into the Steph being the primary guy and Draymond.
Yeah.
It's
they
crazy.
Just bounced completely back. Draymond is like, you know, really stepped into a time machine. And I mean, it's what was fun about them in the first place. I still think with KD, you guys are harder to beat in the playoffs because the playoffs are just like grind it down until you figured all the different angles out. And then it just comes down to sheer, like who has the most talent.
Yeah.
And you guys have more talent than anybody in the history of the NBA with KD and maybe without him.
And just a fact check, Chris Gatling was drafted by the Golden State Warriors in 1991.
And then got traded?
Pick. No, he was there till 96.
Really? Wow.
I just, dude, all the trading cards from the early 90s, I have imprinted in my
Gatling
motherfucking
gun?
Mind. Yeah. I think he's serving 2.5 years for fraud right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Shit.
Is he on an NBA Jam team?
No.
He wouldn't have been, because that would have been like Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway in one, right?
That's funny, because when we were talking about video game crushes, I said my first video game crush was Chris Mullin's jump shot from NBA Jam, because that shit was so wet. What is something you think is underrated?
Klay Thompson.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's my underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you
his
know,
His defense.
His defense is incredible, and there's nothing in the NBA that's as fun to watch as Klay Thompson, like, for the quarter when he gets hot, and it's just, like, there's something, like, locked in where it might as well be like robotics.
He
like,
wargs it's just, into the ball.
He just turns into the ball, and the ball, it's not a question of whether it's going in. It's like,
how it goes
will
in.
This ever touch the rim?
Right.
Because he's just like bombing from every different angle, and it's just always in. So
I mean,
quick.
His shot is hot and cold sometimes.
Yeah.
And really hot sometimes, but his D is like always, he's always on it. He's always paying attention. He's always active. He's never given up. And he's always taking on the most prolific scorer, usually. I mean, usually.
Are you feeling pretty confident heading into the finals?
I wasn't until the Raptors took two from the Bucks, and then I'm like, okay, I think both those teams are
beatable.
Beatable, for sure. But when it was looking like a Bucks sweep, I was like, oh, God, like, these guys look good.
Yeah, I think they're both pretty...
With Giannis, you know.
I think they'll both give you guys a series, at least. I think it'll go, like... Five, six?
Yeah. It was crazy to go from the Rockets to the Blazers.
I know. Like,
right. Backwards. Just totally backwards.
I mean, it didn't seem like the Warriors were really... And sorry for all the heavy NBA talk for people who don't pay attention.
Yeah,
to
this
it,
is boring.
We'll get through it quickly. But it was pretty funny how the Warriors celebrated after beating the Rockets. It was like, oh, you guys know this is the championship.
Yeah, right. No, like, it was like surprising just, the way they're celebrating.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Asians are good at math.
Oh, wow.
I think Asian Americans are good at math a lot because their parents came here for educational purposes and blah, blah, blah. But the people who were not good at math are still in India and China. So maybe Asian Americans are good at math.
Are you good at math?
I am.
And you've chalked that up to immigrant parents?
My dad sitting over me at like 2 a.m, like doing math.
That's like my mom too. Yeah. Being half Japanese, I didn't go to like Kumon math or anything like that, but there was like a expectation of like, how's that multiplication table?
Right.
Like, it's incredibly important to like a lot of Asian
parents. Yeah.
Like, it's annoyingly important to like do.
Yeah.
Educational shit. And so like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Michelle White, I'm sorry you had to hold that L in second grade when we were doing times tables.
You but beat her.
There was no other option for me. Right. To not go home to my mother and say I did not smoke everybody in the class in
that
times
table. I was the second fastest. Wow.
Well, you know what I did? I did it so much, I didn't even multiply. I just committed to memory the combinations. I wasn't even doing math. I was like 7 and 8 is 56. Like, I would just fucking do, I was on, I don't know.
That's how I still do it.
Well, at first, like, I used to like multiply. I remember the first couple times I was like actually doing the math because I couldn't just instantly recall what the answers are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I realized like, yo, Michelle keep fucking me up.
Right.
I need an edge. I'm like, I just got to black out on this thing and just see the Matrix.
Right.
And I did. And by see the Matrix, I meant my mom screamed at me.
Have you guys seen, what's the Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish movie?
Oh, Night School.
Night School, when he's like, have you seen it?
Nah.
Oh, it's funny. You got to check it out. But basically what you're kind of, the Matrix thing is happening to Kevin Hart. And
there you go. Funny. See, people experience the same thing, you know?
Yeah. And I did say that I still do the memorization thing because I am in an underground multiplication racing league at nights where we put money.
Dope, you know, because it used to be like the grid, right?
Right.
You do like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, but you switch them up.
Oh.
So it's like 4, 2, 1. That way you really got to fucking pay attention.
Yeah.
Okay. There'll be a new game we play.
Nice.
At the underground times table league.
First rule of math club is we do not talk about math.
I know.
Club.
Yeah. They're going to be so mad at me. Fortunately, none of them can kick my ass.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the stories of the day. And as we mentioned, New Coke is going to be making a comeback. So I didn't realize that not that many people knew the story of New Coke. But yeah, at a certain point in the 80s, Coke was so scared of Pepsi. That they and Pepsi like did this kind of
so
brilliant
scared of
trolling
Pepsi.
Move where they kept talking about the taste test, the Pepsi
oh,
challenge.
Oh, right.
Where they kept beating Coke in the Pepsi challenge, which was just you take a like little Dixie cup of each and then ask people which they liked better. And people generally liked Pepsi every time. Like it was like a 70% test rate. So Coke re-engineered their whole product to be good in those taste tests, and we're like, guys, we did it. We have New Coke, which is going to be better than old Coke. It's going to be even better than Pepsi. and people weren't happy about it.
Was it that like Pepsi was sweeter than Coke or something? Wasn't right. there some kind so of bias is, even like in how they presented it?
Right. So the Pepsi challenge, the stupid thing is that the Pepsi challenge was a test that was invented by Pepsi. And it's not how people actually consume your product. Nobody takes a small sip and of the product. It's about how it drinks as an entire beverage. And
you sound like a Coke guy who's like trying to be like, this is wrong.
I've read a lot about this because I think it's so fascinating. There's also a little wrinkle in it that involves Bill Cosby that I also think is interesting. But so anyways, it wasn't as good as regular Coke. Neither was Pepsi. It's just that when you take a little thimbleful, the sweeter one wins every time. But if you're having to take multiple sips of it, it's like it becomes too overwhelming.
Gotcha.
For anyone who's not like 7 years old.
Yeah, and trying to melt their teeth.
Right. So there was a huge backlash. They went back to Coca-Cola Classic, and this ended Bill Cosby's relationship with Coke. Prior to this, Bill Cosby was the pitch man for Coke. He was the face of New Coke. And he got really mad at Coke because he was like, yo, I put my face out there and said that New Coke was better than Old Coke.
Right.
And now you're making me look like a liar. And people were like, that's weird that he's
They're like,
that.
You're a rapist.
Right. Well, so they
were worried about New
they
Coke.
Weren't like
they were
that.
Thinking it.
Yeah.
But
they didn't say it out loud. Yet.
The thing that was weird is that he was very like stuck on people not trusting when he told them to drink something.
Oh, that's right. I remember you talking about this.
So
yes.
like it, I think there was like a subtle thing where he was like, Jesus. You can trust me. Like my trustworthiness when I tell you to drink something is important. Like that's a big that's part my of my brand.
But is the only difference that New Coke was just like a sweeter mutant version of the old recipe?
Yeah, it's sweeter.
And people
than...
were like, this is not the Coke I grew up with.
Right.
Okay. Was it like a, do you think maybe it was like a stunt like IHOP changing to like IHOB and they never really did it and they
They put a lot of money in. Like it wasn't like a brief stunt where they're like, we'll go to New Coke and then go back to Coca-Cola
Classic. They're like, this is what Coke is now, baby.
Right. I think people in retrospect were like, that was brilliant because sales for Coke went up after they went back to Coca-Cola Classic because people valued it, but it was an actual fuck up. Like they put all their marketing into New Coke and then like it was off shelves within a month.
Well, all this to say that you can get your hands on a can of New Coke.
Yeah.
Because it's a promotion with the new Stranger Things season because, you know, the new season takes place in 85. So there's like a lot of retro marketing shit going into it. But apparently, like on the, they're doing like special edition glass bottles. And if you get that, they'll hook you up with a can of New Coke.
Right.
So you can live the nightmare.
Right.
Just like everyone else did.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should get it because I'm curious how far off it is.
Right.
Or if it's just one of those things that if you're like a Coke boy,
right.
Like it was fucking with your head. Like you're like, this is not good.
I mean, people study Coca-Cola Classic in the food like sciences world because it has like this great balance of like how sweet it is versus like mouthfeel or like all the shit that they care about in that industry. And it like has a good balance. And this one doesn't have that, but it is, I don't know. I feel like as a spin-off product, like why wouldn't they just keep it? Just be like, nah, this is New Coke. It's the really sweet one. And their whole problem was just being like, there's not room for two types of Coke out there.
Well, now we have 7,000 kinds.
Right.
So
exactly.
I think we got room for
New
that.
Coke Zero.
Yeah. Right.
That'd be good.
New Coke Lime.
Yeah.
New Vanilla Coke.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. And maybe the world has changed so much that people will like New Coke better.
I'd be interested to who their spokesman's going to be, like outside of Stranger Things.
Bill Cosby again, weirdly. Yeah. I did not see that coming. Like, I was like, wow.
Really? Who should it be? Yeah, New Coke.
Millie Bobby Brown?
French Montana.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Well, like Mountain Dew has like Sway Lee and like whatever.
Right.
Going, right.
Like, but do they have to go to like Michael J. Fox or something like 80s
style? Yeah, go back.
Like, and they're all old.
I don't know. Yeah. Who do you get?
I don't know.
Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Bruno Mars would actually work.
Because he's like throwback 80s kind of a little bit, you know.
Don't believe me, just sip. And then boom, there you go.
Da-na-na-na.
Just writes itself.
Yeah. Or The Weeknd because he feels Michael Jackson so hard that like that you would get Michael Jackson in his prime if you were going to get anyone.
You could do a cool spit like a mock Michael right. Jackson video, like a Thriller video with The Weeknd in it.
Right.
That would be pretty dope for a Coke commercial.
But but wasn't Michael Jackson doing Pepsi commercials?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. But this was their attempt to defeat Pepsi.
So then they should just go a step down and it would be like right. Rockwell.
Right.
They're like, we got Rockwell. We got Barry Gordy's son, Rockwell.
Right. In the 80s, soda companies seemed to gravitate towards rapists, apparently.
Yeah,
just there's something about it, man, because soda is poison, I think, at the end of the day, because the shit is terrible for you.
Yeah. Mr. Rogers wasn't out here getting those big contracts.
No, he was working with Calistoga Water Company.
Or something.
Chocolate
like
milk.
Yeah.
Chocolate milk was the
he's like Clay Thompson.
Yeah. That is always, I always love that when it's the NBA and like you have like, you know, Kyrie doing a Nike commercial. And then I forget who it's the center from the Celtics does chocolate milk commercials. And it's like, he's like
Al Horford.
Out. Yeah, Al Horford and doing chocolate.
Clay Thompson actually does
Clay
one
Thompson
too.
Clay Thompson does them too. It's like,
you're like, okay.
Damn, man. You couldn't get.
What do you care about my health or
Gatorade?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a bad. Yeah, your agent fucked up. If you're like, right. So you give me Gatorade? Kind of.
Right. So
it's a thirst quencher. For a very specific time, is chocolate milk.
4 or 5 year olds.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And President Trump Woo! I always know it's a good day when Miles comes in and I hear his phone the second he walks through the door, because I know something's going down in the world of politics. And you had the CNN or some news feed going live streaming on your phone, and sure enough, President Trump was mid-meltdown.
Oh, man. Yeah, Wednesday was a day that we will soon forget because it'll be replaced by some other fuck.
Right.
But, I mean, so just background, right? The president needs some kind of a fucking win.
Right.
I mean, like, he's saber-rattling with Iran. No one, and everyone's like, I'm not fucking with that. Aside from the hawks that he has in his administration,
right?
The only real bill that he actually passed, like into law or signed into law, was that tax scam. And most people are like, no one can actually look at that and go, my life is better, unless you're at the, you know, top, you know, 5%, 10%.
Right. Yeah.
And then, you know, there's a bunch of executive orders, but nothing really tangible. And so, you know, there's a desire for a legislative win. He also is under a lot of pressure because the walls are starting to close in on many fronts with, like, different legal battles. The House Oversight Committee, you know, they subpoenaed his accounting firm to hand over his financial records, because they're like, based on what we know, there's a lot of financial fuckery going on with y'all. Like, you're valuing shit at way over, no auditing. Like, we need to look at that so we can compare some shit. And they were refusing. So it went to a court, and guess what? Now we're at this phase with all this sort of stonewalling where now federal judges are the ones weighing in.
Huh.
And immediately his lawyers try to argue, he's like, well, I don't believe Congress has, like, an oversight function in this certain situation. And it doesn't seem like they have the actual authority to do that. And the judge, like, immediately was like, no. Hit the gavel, was like, run the records. Give him the records.
That's the amazing thing, because when I heard that was their strategy, I was like, well, it's the president of the United States. He probably has an army of lawyers who have, like, these really in-depth legal arguments that are going to tie this thing up in the court forever. But it's not. They're just, like, misunderstanding the law.
Yeah, I mean,
essentially.
Nuh-uh. It's right. Not a legal
argument.
It's not
a legal argument.
Because that's essentially what they pulled up to this federal judge. And he was like, I'm sorry, did you really just say, nuh-uh?
Right.
Okay, yo, get the fuck out and get them those records. On another front, Deutsche Bank. There's a hearing happening Wednesday on whether or not Deutsche Bank is going to hand over records pertaining to the Trumps and Kushner, because there were certain transactions that were flagged by their in-house, like, money laundering task force of being like, oh, this looks like maybe some money laundering between these accounts and Russian and Eastern European accounts, based on shit we know about how money moves and the algorithms that are set up. So that's another possible thing that could come up that would be revealing. So look, that's all happening. On top of that, Hope Hicks has been subpoenaed to come talk to Jerry Nadler.
She knows a lot.
Yo, I mean,
she was his... The fact that she was his prefrontal cortex for the first 2 years of his presidency would suggest that she knows quite a bit.
I describe her as the president's ass wart.
Okay.
Just all up in there all the time, seen everything and heard everything.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Yeah. And it's funny, if you remember her whole arc, like, I remember she came out and said, yeah, sometimes I've told white lies for the president.
Right.
That was the day before she resigned suddenly out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's now at Fox, but I think, like, a lot of people who aren't, like, their last name isn't Trump or Kushner, I don't think they really want to keep doing this over and over and really just, you know, hitch their wagon to the star by any means, because it's going down, I think.
Right.
And then the other person who was subpoenaed was White House counsel Don McGahn's deputy, this woman, Annie Donaldson, who, this is a quote from the Washington Post. It says, her function was just to be always at McGahn's side. And they say, quote, Donald's daily habit of documenting conversations and meetings provided the special counsel's office with its version of the Nixon White House tapes. Donaldson famously fretted in her West Wing diary, quote, is this the beginning of the end? When Trump insisted on firing Comey in May 2017 and on mentioning the president was not a subject of the Russia investigation in his public termination letter. So these are people who have, like, you know, she's popped up in the Mueller report, this woman, Donaldson, Annie Donaldson. And they have a lot of things they can tell more, I think, a few more details maybe they can illuminate. So these are kind of all the things that are swirling around Trump. So you'd think he would be just drenching the old bench to meet up with the Democrats who've said, hey, you know what? You know something we actually both can kind of see eye to eye on is infrastructure.
Right.
That's completely devoid of any partisan politics. We're like, fucking roads?
Yeah.
Fucking broadband? for rural areas in the inner city.
I mean, the best possible outcome for him is that people are just like, we're tired of the Russia shit. We want to move forward.
Yeah, and do something.
That did seem to be how like a portion of the country was feeling after the Mueller report. They were just like, yeah, he's not in jail, so I guess we can just move forward. Like, we're tired of having a president who's not doing anything, and all he's doing is like bickering and bitching about what he did and didn't do like 3 years ago.
So there had been meetings between Schumer, Pelosi, Trump, and the other Dem leadership with, and all talking about infrastructure. They set a meeting for Wednesday, and it seemed like, okay, this might be able to happen. Because at least with infrastructure, that's like something that creates jobs and like tangibly improves people's lives. That's like some shit. People can look at their shitty road being fixed or broadband coming in and say, oh shit, I guess Trump's actually doing something.
Right.
But no. He has no interest in that because he only has one mind, and that is to cover up what the fuck is going on. So prior to a meeting that was supposed to happen to iron out all the final details of how we move forward on an infrastructure plan, Nancy Pelosi was asked about the president, you know, and his actions. And for the first time, she actually said, I believe he's involved in a cover-up. He's engaged in a cover-up. Mm. Which before, she was always like, I think there needs to be, she was dancing around shit all the time. Like, I think he needs, there needs to be more accountability. We need to learn more. But now she's like, no, I think this is a cover-up.
Right.
So cut to this meeting, and Chuck Schumer describes it as like, it's very dark. Like, the president's mood was dark. Like, it was all just a very odd vibe. And as they're beginning to talk, they're like, okay, so we need to figure out how we're going to pay for this infrastructure plan. Because Pelosi was really framing it to the president of saying, you know what? Jefferson had a huge infrastructure plan. Teddy Roosevelt had a huge infrastructure plan. Like just pointing to other presidents who have had like these sort of like landmark infrastructure things. Like, this is your chance to really kind of help tangibly improve the country. And you can actually hang your fucking wig on that.
Right.
And so that didn't work because he comes in and just sort of like, look, I'm not doing a deal. If you don't fucking stop the investigations, then there's no infrastructure deal. I don't care. Just stop the investigations and just walk the fuck out.
Wow.
And so then he immediately walks out to the Rose Garden where he, for a, you know, impromptu meeting, and I use air quotes because he was acting like, or some people were trying to describe it as like not being planned. But when you go out there, he had a podium with like just graphics emblazoned on it and shit.
Right.
He had handouts for people. Like, this shit was planned. Like, he knew he was going to blow that shit up and try and basically say, you know, the Democrats, they like, we were going to do infrastructure, but they're so hung up on this Russia shit. I can't deal.
Yeah. Is that what the graphic said? No collusion, all that stuff?
Literally no collusion, no obstruction. And then a little thing, Mueller investigation by the numbers, $35 million spent, 2,800 subpoenas, 670, just all these other stats. And he pointed to that as like, I've been so transparent. I don't get what's going on. I'm innocent or whatever. But yet he still, I guess if he is so innocent, then why would he trying to constantly obstruct the Democrats' ability to just basically verify that he's innocent then?
Right.
Okay, then let me see these records really quick, and it'll be done quick.
Right.
But clearly, this man is covering some shit up. And once he got out there, it was Trump jazz all the way. Like, half the time, shit wasn't even making sense. The ideas were not connecting.
Yeah, it seemed like he was tired, or
I don't know. Here, listen to this greatest hits mixtape real quick of his Rose Garden press conference.
Being wrong, being transparent is better. So I said, I did nothing wrong. Let's be transparent. So that's what you have. All of these things. Look at that. All of these things. 500 witnesses that I allowed to testify. It's a disgrace. So when they get everything done, I'm all set to let's get infrastructure. Let's get drug prices down. In the meantime, we're doing tremendous work without them.
Uh-huh.
He's got
we're doing tremendous
right.
executive orders, a lot of work. We've had a great success, most successful economy perhaps in our country's history.
Perhaps.
We've cut regulations at a level that nobody else has cut them before. The largest tax cut in the history of the country. So we're doing a lot of work. All of a sudden, I hear last night they're going to have a meeting right before this meeting to talk about the I word. The I word. Can you imagine? I don't speak to Russians about campaigns. Hmm. When I went to Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, I don't say, oh, let's call Russia. Maybe they can. It's a hoax.
What? It's a hoax, you know?
Not believable at all.
I believe our president.
I believe our president and Putin.
Yeah.
Right.
I believe Putin, our president. You know, so he blew that up. And again, he also basically admitted, I'm not going to do, like, I can only do one thing at a time. And right now, right. as president, I can only fight these investigations. I can't lead on anything else.
So he's holding the country hostage in order to get this investigation to stop.
Yeah.
Which, like, how, I'm trying to figure out, because I just always have a hard time wrapping my mind around, like, what the people who still support him or approve of the job he's doing think. What is their version of this where they're like, well, yeah, of course he's doing that, because what?
Because what? Because Democrats are so hell-bent on smearing this president that, and it's so unfair. Why work with them on anything? They're the baddies.
Because
harassing
that's
your
him.
Job. No. What's a job?
Right.
I don't know what that means. Okay. I know is the president is asking Congress to abdicate their constitutional duty and their oversight role if they want to get any kind of infrastructure plan done.
I mean, he did that with the border wall. Yeah. He just holds people hostage and then nothing really happens. We just forget, I guess.
Yeah,
but I guess now it's really showing, like, on just on many levels, right? Even for, like, you can tell pundits on Fox are getting tired of it. Some people do say, like, I wish he would just get over, like, just get this over with and do stuff.
Right.
Because there's not that many things people can actually point to aside from the shit he just talks out loud about the economy's great. But I'm sure if you ask people, like, did you get a raise at work?
Right.
Is your insurance coverage better? Is your health care better? Mm-hmm. Okay, then how the fuck has he improved your life aside from seeing the harassment of people of color or separation of immigrant children at the border? Like, unless all your calculus is based on how much pain you're seeing on the screen, then he's done fuck all.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's their version is like, yeah, that's the only way he can fight back. It's like, oh, if you don't stop your bullshit investigations, then we'll do nothing then.
But if he's innocent, why is he so desperate in their mind
Whoa, come on, why are you asking a follow-up question?
Well, he had his whole thing about, early on in his presidency, and it worked, I think, where it was like, an attack on me is an attack on your choice as president. They're trying to get rid of me because they want to ruin that. But him releasing his accounting records or whatever has no bearing on Americans at all. It's not an attack on them. Nothing's going to happen if there's nothing to find out. So
All the stuff that they're looking into is stuff that would completely compromise a president. It's not
100%,
like, it's not character assassination. It's not trying to find out if he got a blowjob from the intern in the Oval Office. This is about whether he, like, has financial ties to, it's just
foreign governments. Yeah. Are you in the pocket of a foreign government? You're the leader of this republic, quote unquote. Yeah.
And the fact that his response to that is to just, like, clear the fucking all the pieces off the board and slam it on the ground and walk out of the room is really, like, obviously I've given up on, like, any semblance of, you know, efficiency or him wanting to do anything other than, like, argue with people. But I just don't see. I mean, his approval on 538, which averages all the approval polls, his approval is going down and his disapproval is going up. So, I mean, I guess I'm just always curious. Like, is this the one? You know, there's that Michael Che joke where he's like, wait, so matters. We got him, right? Oh, right. No, nothing.
Is that John
matters.
Oliver, you mean?
No.
John Oliver does it too, where he hits the button. Oh. And then the streamers come down, the band comes out. I was like, we got him.
No, Michael Che was like, oh, really? Nothing matters anymore.
Right.
Nothing matters.
Yeah. But yeah, it just seems like, I don't know, I'm just waiting for that moment to come that apparently happened in Watergate where people were like, oh, right.
Well, and I think
he
that's,
is guilty.
Well, there's even a Fox poll where people were saying, like, they believe Robert Mueller over the president, William Barr. Like, even Fox viewer, like, that was a Fox News poll.
Yeah.
So even those people are starting to even be like, well, I like the president, but they can even tell, they're like, why is he hiding all this stuff?
Right.
He's probably innocent, but it's like, I don't know, maybe you believe that, but other people might not. And just another, a sweet, sweet bit of information. So Amit Mehta is the federal judge who ruled in favor of the House Oversight Committee to get those banking records. Naturally, Trump was just like, this is crazy. And I'm saying, we're going to appeal. They appealed. meaning it now will go up a level to the federal courts. Mm-hmm. Go to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals.
Getting juicy.
And you know who's the head of that circuit court?
I do.
Merrick Garland, the man who did not become Supreme Court Justice, could quite possibly be the one to just preside over that. Huh. And not to say he's just going to be obviously out for revenge, but if clearly judges before him were like, this is so intellectually bankrupt on its face, this argument. Mm-hmm. I don't know how well he's going to do with that. But
I think this one time we're totally willing to overlook him being unprofessional and completely intellectually bankrupt in the opposite direction. They've done that. Like, their supposedly legitimate dude, William Barr, has just gone full Fox News pundit on us. So, like...
Well, I mean, even here, like, there's not even a reason, because it's so clearly, like, the law is so clear on what Congress is able to do.
That's their whole job, and, is executive oversight.
Right, and his defense is literally, nuh-uh.
Yeah.
So that is not going to go well. You don't even have to be unprofessional. You just have to be like, what's the law? Right. Okay. Done. You're good.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
One of the, I mean, this isn't related exactly to it, but just the Trump stuff, and it's just like, I remember... before he got into office, he was voted in, but he hadn't arrived to D.C. And it was like, I was reading articles where, like, FBI's, like, spokesman or somebody from the FBI, you know, was anonymously saying, we have to imagine that there's eyes and ears of the Russians in the White House once he gets in. So one of the most interesting things I could imagine is, like, his Secret Service detail. No, somebody on in his Secret Service detail is like ready to flip on a switch, like to arrest him or something. There must be somebody within his orbit that is aware of what's really going on and keeping an eye on him and not the way he thinks.
Right, and still have to be a subordinate,
yeah.
But like appear as if they're like, man, the shit I fucking see, bro.
It's like the Bodyguard show. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, yeah, on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that a little bit, except... maybe nobody's sleeping with him, but
yeah.
yeah.
You never know.
But then you worry about like the people in the intelligence community who we've forced to the point where they're who we're rooting for, but they've always been like the biggest villains in U.S. history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and I could easily imagine them being like, well, it's great to have this completely lame duck idiot who we're who were able to, you know, say you're under arrest if you don't do exactly what we want, like going forward. I don't know. Now we're spinning off into conspiracy theory land, but I don't like the position we're in as a country.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
You know how? Sorry, one last thing. You know how they? I forget who it was, but said that they opened a counterintelligence operation on Trump, like in 2017. Did anybody ever say like they closed it?
No.
So, I mean, he's a valuable asset
it's still
to keep
happening.
Collecting information. So,
well,
you know.
And the House Intelligence Committee just got some new documents that weren't in the Mueller report. So we'll see what happens there. There's all kinds of shit floating around.
Mm. All right. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And time to talk about cartoons and video game characters who could get it.
I like the way you said it. It's almost like we're at a slumber party. You're like, okay, guys, it's time to talk about which cartoon characters, video game characters gave us little arousings.
No, that somebody was talking about that, I think, in context of Disney having Aladdin coming out, and somebody was saying, you know, Aladdin was my first crush. And you know, I mean,
a few people came at me on Twitter. They're like, how can we not participate in this hashtag?
Oh, really?
How can we not talk about Lola Bunny? I'm like, well, cause Lola Bunny's not my first cartoon crush.
Yeah. This is something we found out. So Miles, famous for, you know, being sexually obsessed with Lola Bunny, is kind of his thing, but she wasn't your first.
No, my first would have to be Psylocke from the X-Men. And very specifically, there was a 1991 issue illustrated by Jim Lee, the great Jim Lee, where it was like a poster, but on the poster wasn't like an action scene. It was all the X-Men chilling at the pool.
Wow.
So you got to see all the characters in their bikinis, okay? And, you know, Rogue has like a little bit of like a short wetsuit kind of thing going on. Aurora Monroe Storm. She got like the nice little 90s bikini going on. But Psylocke is sunbathing. I remember very vividly. And she, I can't forget her.
Wow. And what was Wolverine wearing?
Wolverine is wearing also a bikini. Jorts.
Jorts?
He's wearing cut off jean shorts, nice. I believe is what his outfit was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds about right.
That's pretty hot.
Those are his jorts. Yeah. But look at Psylocke right
Bob
there.
The Bob Weir look. Yeah.
She's getting her tan.
Wow.
And then like Cyclops looks like he's a beach volleyball player.
I thought you said Cyclops at first when you said Psylocke. Oh, I'm not a huge X-Men fan.
Oh yeah,
I was like,
Cyclops.
Yeah, James Marsden.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, so B, what about you, man?
Mine's not that cool. It's definitely like Sunday newspaper funnies. It's like Blondie.
Oh, really? Yeah. Blondie. That's
Is that what
funny,
it's called?
Man.
I think that was what it's called.
No, I think you're thinking of Kathy.
Yeah.
Ack? Yeah.
Mine yeah. is Kathy.
close second.
Blondie, the wife, the biggest.
Dagwood?
Yeah. Dagwood, the world's She's biggest overachiever. Yeah. Those were.
Not very cool.
Not very.
Not like X-Men.
No, but it's all different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all. That's where you discover things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I love women with purple hair.
Yeah, there it is. April O'Neil and Jasmine.
Oh,
I think
shit,
were
mine. I forgot about April O'Neil.
Yeah, because April O'Neil had the weird, like,
yellow
nerd
jumpsuit
thing where you, like, she was untouchable because, like, the male leads were turtles.
Right.
So, like, it had the vibe of, like, the older girl that, like, didn't even know you existed type thing.
Oh, shit.
I feel like that played into it with April O'Neil. And then Jasmine was just really hot.
Did she hook up with Casey Jones in that?
Did she?
I don't know.
There is something between them.
I'm just searching for humans.
I feel like in the first movie, they kind of had like a little bit of back and forth. I don't know. I'm sure somebody will holler at me on Twitter about that. What about video game characters? Did you ever have a video game crush?
I don't think I had a video game crush other than Chris Mullin's jump shot in the original right. NBA Jam.
Weddy.
Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah.
That would be mine.
Okay. Yeah.
Schrempf and Sean Kemp. They were a powerful duo.
I think mine would be, I guess, Dikembe Mutombo then.
Yeah.
For me.
There you go.
I think the only person I could really think of is, like, I wasn't into, like, you know, Peach or Princess Toadstool or whatever her name is from Mario.
Yeah.
Peach, I
Street Fighter.
Guess
was like,
Street
Chun-Li. Street Fighter, yeah. Chun-Li,
you know, I liked her dress with the weird front and back flaps.
Yeah.
But Lara Croft, I think that'll always be up there.
I was out on video games by that point, I think.
Oh, shit. That's early.
Yeah.
It was like 96 or something when the first Tomb Raider came out?
Yeah, that was right around when I quit.
That's right when I quit. I had to get off the sauce.
Had to get off.
Got lost in the sauce.
That's right. Yeah. Well, anyways.
All right. Well, I guess let's get back to work.
Let's talk about Metacritic Watch, because this is something that we have been keeping our eye on, is the new live-action Aladdin comes out this weekend. Ever since the trailer, I've been very curious to see what, like, the response was going to be to this, because first of all, I always kind of keep an eye on Will Smith movies, because he has been on this unprecedented losing streak in terms of like his tomato meter. Yeah, his tomato meter, he hasn't had anything in the red since Men in Black 3, and he's had some wild flops.
On the tomatometer?
On the tomatometer, yes. Bright, 25. Collateral Beauty, 14. Suicide Squad, 27. Concussion and Focus were close at 59-56, but Annie, 28. Winter's Tale, 13. After Earth, 11. A Man's Story, 33. So he's had a crazy bad run, and there's no reason his run should be that bad. He's such a great movie star, but for some, like, I don't know if it was just he got so famous that he stopped being able to see movies the way other people saw them.
I think he only saw checks.
Right.
That's all you're looking at. You're like, how much for that? No,
I think he wanted to make good movies, right?
Like, Jack, you just demonstrated to me that he doesn't not know what a good movie is.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Is it that he just doesn't give a shit, or is it that he was trying and was just missing the mark every time?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not mad really either way, because just get your checks.
Once After Earth hit, I started having the feeling, because it was like a Scientology metaphor that wasn't quite right about Scientology, but it had like some themes that I was just like, maybe this dude's like off.
Is he Scientology?
There's always been rumors that he's Scientologist.
He's a good candidate.
Right. He's a great candidate.
Oh, him and Jada.
Yeah. But then, and he and Jada, I think, started their own school for
Xavier School for the
right. That taught some stuff that was like Scientology adjacent, but
I think ultimately they said they were not interested.
Yeah,
they
ultimately
out.
Said we're not in it. And everybody I've talked to says both them and their kids are like the loveliest, like greatest people you've ever met.
I got to work with Jaden before, and he is a really nice kid.
Yeah. So I'm always pulling for him, man. I hope Aladdin, and so the early reviews, anyways, back to Aladdin. The early reviews are that it's actually not terrible, which is exactly what's being written.
Every single review is, I was expecting a big pile of shit on the screen covered in blue.
Yes.
But you know what? Not that bad.
Yeah.
Is everyone, like, there's always the sort of caveat, right? Where it's like, I, just so you know, thought it was going to be terrible.
Right.
Wasn't that bad. So I'm not sure what that actually means.
Yeah.
That it was maybe only slightly above what their expectations were, which was like utter disaster. But they say, like, whenever Will Smith is on screen, it's really good. Mm. And then when he's not, they say the film really suffers.
Yeah, and I've heard that the CGI with the genie still isn't that great. It's just Will Smith is carrying it by just being super charismatic. But Aladdin is currently at 61%. So if it can just stay right there, it will get.
What do you have to be? 60. If you're over 60, you get the tomato, yeah, and not the green splat.
Tomatometer.
Ah, the tomatometer, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, this is the sort of thing that I'm paying attention to, guys.
Just really pulling for Will. You're like,
pulling for Will.
You have a party.
I mean, I was raised on Fresh Prince. Like, that was favorite show when I was a kid. So,
I watched every
motherfucking
Will Smith movie up until when I really look at this list. Where did we split apart? I think after
all those that you listed, I have never seen in my life, but I've seen like a bazillion Will Smith movies. But none of those bad
Never
ones
saw Hitch Onward.
Did you have a.
Saw I Am Legend.
Did you have the cassette of He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper?
No, I did not have that.
Okay. I go that far back.
Well, yeah. I mean, you go pretty far back in general.
I'm old, is what I'm saying. Other things in coming attractions. We can call this the coming attractions section. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out in Cannes. It was.
Is that Quentin?
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino's 9th film. He's apparently only going to make 10. He said he's going to retire after his 10th. So this is his second to last movie.
Great.
And so it was confusing because the Drudge Report, which I kind of keep an eye on, he has like this bias where he wants everything that ever comes out in movies or entertainment to be terrible. And so he was excerpting these reviews that were like plotless, meandering. But when you check Metacritic, it's actually the second best reviewed movie of the year so far. It's at 92%, which, yeah, people are saying it might be his best movie since Pulp Fiction, which is a strong statement since, Pulp Fiction actually debuted at Cannes 25 years ago to the day.
Mm. Oh, really?
Good
for him.
Welcome to Hollywood. Or that Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out. Welcome to Hollywood is a different movie that I'm writing. And then another coming attraction, Miles, you brought it to our attention, Chris Nolan.
Well, I'm a Chris Nolan fucking hoe.
Right.
Okay? Except I've never seen Interstellar.
Right.
Because because I had... Not that I think his movies are perfect, but that was the first time I remember people went to a Chris Nolan film and they're like, you should check it out on the big screen. So we're checking out like that. And I get like, and I don't think it's bad, but for whatever reason, I just avoided it because I had this idea in my mind about his ability.
It's a really high bar for a failure. Like it's a really interesting failure, but it is...
Yeah, like worth like no yeah, because no one said don't watch it.
Right. It's worth watching.
It was one of the first times people weren't like, whoa.
Yeah.
Go see that shit. Anyway, so I'm always interested in what he's working on. And his latest film has been kind of secret. You know, we haven't really known much. But now we have found out that shooting has begun on the new film. It's called Tenet. And it's got the usuals. You got Michael Caine. You've got Kenneth No Lips Branagh. Mm-hmm. Aaron Taylor Johnson. Clemence Posey, John David Washington, Robert Pattinson.
Ooh,
there's a few
John
different
David
people
Washington.
In it. So it's an original screenplay he wrote, and they describe it as an action epic about international espionage, and it's like shooting in like 7 countries right now.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, knowing him, he likes his visuals, so I'm sure he's going to soak up all the unique locations and things like that. It's got the same DP as Dunkirk, Hoyt Van Hoytema, and the score... Black Panther composer Ludwig Göransson. He's also doing the score. So this could be, you know, it's no, what, like, who's doing the last ones? Howard Shore or Zimmer? I think, anyway, Hans Zimmer, I think, did the last couple.
Dunkirk.
But,
yeah,
you know,
did
I think it's going to be interesting. The only, the thing that really gets me going about Chris Nolan is that I just love his insistence on the way his films look. Like, coming out of the 90s and into the early aughts, like, everything was just CG. And there's a complete departure from like using miniatures or doing like practical effects in camera. And so when Chris Nolan came out and you realize like, oh yeah, that's kind of the secret to his sauce. Like he really, really insists on doing as much in camera as possible. And I think it shows in like sort of how breathtaking a lot of the visuals in the films are. But, you know, we'll see how this goes.
That sounds dope. Yeah. I mean, international espionage, 7 world locations. Yeah.
That's this kind right of DP, alley. It's a Chris Nolan script. I hope it doesn't have gigantic plot holes, but hey, you never know.
He's great at making movies with plot holes that you don't notice while you're watching the
movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Great first time viewings.
Yeah, he's good at movie magic. Now we just need to get an update from Wes Anderson, and we'll have the trifecta of filmmakers, dudes in their 30s and 40s love. let's talk about Chris Broussard real quick. So this dude is like one of those talking heads on ESPN, usually with basketball. And he came out with a take that Kevin Durant, what is happening right now with the Warriors winning without Kevin Durant is his nightmare, is Kevin Durant's ultimate nightmare. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Durant tweeted back at him and was like, ultimate nightmare? Don't you think you're being a little strong there? And so Chris Broussard went on ESPN and people were like, so looks like he clapped back at you. And he was like, clap back at me.
Clapped back.
Clapped back. So the thing you have to understand is Katie and I have a love-hate relationship. We've texted for, this is a direct quote, we've texted for 2-3 hours straight about life, basketball, media, faith.
Media?
He went in, they have an ellipses here, but then he starts talking about how they share a faith and Jesus Christ is both their saviors. And then he says, KD has gone at me much harder privately. We make a living critiquing athletes. It would be hypocritical of us not to be able to take it. And so, you know, I was like, wow, we didn't know you and KD were like that.
Very close.
Kevin Durant came back at him on Twitter and said, Cap. Oh. You don't have my number, man.
Oh, Cap. Wow.
Yeah.
You don't have my number.
So.
Oh, did Chris Broussard explain that?
Mm-mm.
He was like, well, then who have I been texting?
Right. So that's the question.
Marcus Thompson of The Athletic.
Right.
That's who's been texting.
That's the question. Was he being catfished by somebody
who convinced him that
he was Kevin Durant and like having really in-depth conversations with him about faith?
I mean, it's either. So what? The possibilities are Kevin Durant is lying and he doesn't want to make it look like he has a relationship. Chris Broussard is lying.
Right.
And he's just fucking making all this up to look good. Or Chris Broussard is telling the truth, and Kevin Durant is telling the truth, and Chris Broussard was talking to somebody else.
Yeah, that's the version I prefer. Because
oh, I would love to him go on the text thread and be like, yo, who the fuck is this then?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's such a big
conspiracy.
So somebody talks shit about you on Twitter, and someone asks you about it, and to come back on national TV and just be like, we are best friends in Christ, is like such a,
weird flex.
A big swing, man.
Okay.
Like that is, yeah, I guess he really put it out there.
I guess I wonder if he did that to sort of make it like unassailable, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, we're best friends in Christ. Oh, you gonna question that?
Right.
This is my best friend in Christ. And I'm sorry, what were you about to say?
you can't really say anything.
I mean, unless you're like me, I would have been like, I don't, all that aside, I think you're lying, sir.
Right. Yeah.
That's the facts. Call him right now. Call that number. I want to hear his voice.
Yeah. I do wonder if he then called the number that he had been texting with.
Or if like that text.
Like, hey, man, this is Todd.
I wonder if like right after like that tweet came out from KD, they go up to Chris and be like, yo, he just said you don't have his number. And he goes, oh, really? And he tries to pull up his thread.
Right.
And then just like, they're like, okay, call him. Or if he was lying, how uncomfortable he would have been. He's like, oh, I actually delete the thread because, you know, I don't want people getting his number.
Anybody who knows Chris Broussard, let us know what's going on.
Yeah, please.
Did he come with the thread? Did he show you what was going on?
Did he come with the thread? Was he left on red?
Right.
We don't know.
We do not know.
We just don't know.
We just don't know.
Yeah, our new Mueller report.
Yeah. B, it's been a pleasure having you here, man. Where can people find you, find out more about you, listen to you?
Yeah. You can go on bbeeman.com. My name is not obvious to spell, so I'll spell it out. Mm-hmm. It's spelled B-H-I-B-H-I-M-A-N. It's B Beeman. And you can Google that and go on my website, and you can find all my music there, but on Spotify, elsewhere, iTunes, all that. And I did something unusual. I released an album about a month ago, and or maybe a little over that. But I released it as a podcast, and you guys like your podcast too.
Oh, yeah.
And I did it because I had released like a socially written and recorded a socially political conscious album about this crazy time in America, this Trump world. And, you know, in a lot of avenues in music, being political sounds like it's acceptable and okay, but nobody's a lot of people just don't care and they want right. escapism.
Right.
And so if you look at the top 40 and whatever, I mean, you see that. You don't see it reflected like you do in TV and in podcasts and
sounds
in comedy.
Like you just
stuff.
Don't know the subtext of Old Town Road, dude.
Dude, I saw the video for that yesterday, reluctantly, because I was like, that's stupid. But I like the video. I was like, this is almost like as, you know, powerful as like, this is blasphemy, so you're going to fucking kill me. But This Is America video, like it kind of had a big impact on me because it was like playing on like racial things and also things that he was going through and like just like bringing black and white together. And it was like more of that from the song.
Mm.
The only downside was the Billy Ray Cyrus verse. I didn't really like that, but okay. The video is kind of cool.
Dude, that verse, I remember we were like reading it and we're like, oh man, he really phoned this verse in.
I was like, God.
What was the one about Gucci or some shit?
Yeah, yeah, like, I was like, you can't throw that in.
Something
like,
with a Fendi sports bra or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Right. Yeah. Oh, shit. Billy.
It was bad. Ray. The whole thing was bad. I was like, ugh. I left the room and then I walked back in when he's done.
Mm.
He ended strong, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, I think so. I actually thought his verse was fire. Okay.
If you actually go and if you look on Genius and see what Billy Ray Cyrus was really saying when he said baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras,
yeah.
riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car.
Right.
Dang.
He was
bras
talking about
and
consumer
car.
Yeah.
Or he's talking about Miley Cyrus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. baby's got a habit. That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's
so, yeah, I released it as a podcast. So, like, each song on the album has to do with a different social or political theme, and so one of them's about voter suppression. And I talked to the director of the ACLU's Voting Rights Project for that. One of them's about kind of madness in America and mental health a little bit. So I talked to Glenn Washington. He's the host of Snap Judgment, great podcast. I talked to author Dave Eggers and a social psychologist, and we kind of like dig in and usually I'm like the dumbest dude in these conversations, which is how I like it. Because, you know, I'm not there to talk much. You know,
right.
I'm shepherding the whole thing.
Right.
And my music is kind of the soundtrack. And I don't know if you guys make music or whatever, but like
oh, I do.
I use stems and stuff to kind of score the thing, kind of sound design each episode.
Yeah.
So each episode's one song and I do sub-mixes, meaning like you'll just hear the drums and the bass or whatever I choose to kind of elevate the
No, story. I've been listening. It's really good. And I like it's such a great balance because then you'll even begin talking about your process on writing the song. So mm-hmm. if you're like a music nerd, you begin to hear like, oh, like when I first listened to Lawyers, Guns, and Money, mm-hmm. I really thought it was a Bonham like sample you ripped.
Yeah.
But then when I listened to you actually talking about it, you're like, oh, no, I use this program to make it sound like big-ass John Bonham drums. Yeah, it's I think, and also yeah, just with all the sound design, it's a really dope podcast. I think if y'all like anything we do, listen to this too.
Yeah,
yeah. Please,
it's
yeah.
groundbreaking. You're gonna be the first to listen to a album released on podcast, and
yeah.
I feel like that's gonna be a trend.
I will say this real quick. I've had people confused or like roll their eyes two times in the back of their head when I tell them that I released my album as a podcast. They're like, "Oh God,
right. yeah." Know?
But I did it. I did it in a way that I think is unique and true to me and this time. But
it's almost as if there were a special edition DVD about your album in a sense, right? Like
yeah.
if you just released the album as these tracks, like if the deluxe edition would have been you
yeah.
talking about
right.
these issues and how they influenced
yeah,
the
totally.
Actual compositions themselves.
Like,
so really.
Really dope liner notes to
yeah.
the album.
You're getting,
right.
you're getting the deluxe edition up front.
Yeah. yeah. But the thing that. You're totally right. And the thing that people misunderstand is that I literally had the album ready to go, and then I made the decision to do the podcast
right.
after. It's not like I'm like, oh, I need to do a podcast and then write music like
right.
based on this conversation.
Yeah. yeah, like the Foo Fighters had a TV show on HBO like a few years ago, and they were like making a record out of the show, and I was like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like they were just phoning in. It felt like they were phoning it in, but
yeah. This album is inspired by podcasts.
This album is inspired
this
by
This song
T-Bone.
Is called Serial. Was Dave Eggers cool?
Yeah, I've known Dave for a bit. He was like the first guest. He was the first guy I interviewed. Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's very passionate about, you know, politics, but really just how we move forward and tackling problems as honestly and as best as he can, and he's really involved with children's education, and that's very cool.
I just read, just bought a children's book written by him. I didn't know he was writing children's books, but I am, if you are a Chris Nolan ho, I am a huge Dave Eggers ho.
Okay.
All right, I'll pass that on
to him. Yeah, please let him know. B, is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. Kind of been on a self-imposed Twitter exile, but I did find one. Tom Thunkett. Facebook is now using AI to identify pictures of weed to stop users from dealing drugs on the platform.
What the fuck?
However, people being slaughtered in Myanmar and Bangladesh is not really a top priority.
Right. Yeah, we just like to fan the flames of hatred across the country and look the other way when they're like, we're dedicated to making sure that our platform is not used to that, but we know the difference between broccoli and some super silver haze. I'm glad the money's going to that.
I didn't know people were, you know, hooking up for weed deals on Twitter.
I mean, honestly, just you DM me. You know, don't be a herb out here on Facebook trying to get a sack. It looks weird.
Miles, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. And maybe in your Facebook feed if you're looking for an eighth up to a quarter. No QPs, though, because then it gets messy. Let's see. A tweet I like, there's a couple. They're both from Reductress. This one has like two disappointed women as the image, just like looking into camera, like they're just like, they've given up. It says, "Aw, friends on weekend trip just want to have fun and also resolve their deep-rooted issues with each other in 2 days." It's like, I feel like I hear about trips like that. And another one says, "Woman sad, Game of Thrones is over after 8 years of hating it." I've noticed a new thing that's emerged since the end of the finale, or just in this, like during this last season, is that people have created personalities that are all about, I've never fucked with Game of Thrones. Like that's how I've seen people's whole personalities on social media shift to like, I was never fucking with it.
Right.
So y'all are dumb. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, look, whatever you got to do to feel good. But, you know, do you.
Yeah.
Live yours.
So you spent hours and hours of your life watching something that you hated the whole time? That's wild.
I know people who do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess hate watching is what are you gonna thing. Do?
Oh, and one more thing, something you won't hate. TeePublic, okay, where you get all of our merch. They are having a flash sale. It's going on all the way till Friday. Look, everything's 35% off, and the regular tees going for $13. So please help the show out and buy some Zeitgang merchandise or Zeitgeist, whatever kind of merch you want. But help us keep the lights on and get that merch.
A tweet I've been enjoying is Allison Agosti tweeted, "Bodysuits, get your pussy in your shirt." that should be their slogan. We're bodysuits to have one. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
Well, it's not often we get to do this, but let's ride out on a song by our guest.
Yeah.
From his album. And, you know, I love all the songs on here. I want to let people know off the rip, episode one, it starts off with a banger. Okay. And also, and I don't mean to offend, I don't know if it's offensive to compare you, but your vocals remind me of Tunde from TV on the Radio a bit.
Cool.
And I really love everything about your music. And I was just like engaging with it through the podcast. So y'all, check this shit out. And this one is called "Brother, Can You Spare Some Peace of Mind?" Do you want to tell us a little bit about it really quick?
Yeah, sure. "Brother, Can You Spare Some Peace of Mind?" started off with like kind of this feeling of just like, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just Trump, I don't know,
yeah.
Where you're just like not settled, you know, there's no peace of mind. It's a riff on this idea, or this old song called "Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?" It's like a old, what do you call it, a Depression era song, right? And so I thought it was real clever, and I changed it to "Peace of Mind."
Hey.
You know? Like a beggar on the street who's like not asking for money, but they're asking for some peace of mind in this crazy time. And it's kind of like everything about me all in one song, where I do like skits, I do like imitations of like NPR reporters, like talking about something that has of no consequence to Trump.
Right.
But and it's like kind of like Curtis Mayfield, Pink Floyd. through my lens. It's one of my favorite songs. And Peace of Mind is the name of my podcast, if I didn't say that already, and comes from this song. It's called Brother, Can You Spare Some Peace of Mind?
Well, all right, so we're going to ride out on that one.
You're going to ride out on that. We'll be back tomorrow with more podcasts. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Later.
Brother, can you spare some peace of mind? I can't seem to keep up with these times. Daddy drowned himself in wine. So brother, can you spare some peace of mind?
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.